Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
What's up, everyone? Kevin Zimmerman here, joined by Kellen Olson. It's the Empire of the Suns podcast. It's a Friday. We don't have news for you, but of off-season exercises that we show how bored we are, I guess. We are ranking the Suns' young core compared to 15 other NBA teams. So we chose basically top 15. Kellen and I each made our lists and made a composite, basically, of combining both of our thoughts. First of all, we're doing this podcast, like, before we've posted the article.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, it's up. I'm going to, right when we get out of this, I'll make sure it's up and everything.
Suns fans, Suns stands are probably going to be like, you guys are super cruel and negative, and you're probably going to think we're really down on him.
I think we are extremely reasonable. I just think when you take the fact that, if you're listening to this, we will run through our, let's just run through our list first so we have everyone aware. So do you have yours in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, so mine, I have the Sixers one. First, rules. So under the age of 25, we are not accounting for future draft picks. So just because the Celtics have the Kings protected first round pick that could be a top five pick, like, that doesn't matter to us. Players on the roster under the age of 25. That is what we used. My top 10. I have the Sixers at 1, the Bucks at 2, Celtics 3, Nuggets 4. Then I have the Suns at 5, Jazz 6, Mavericks 7, Timberwolves at 8, Knicks at 9, and wrapping up with the Lakers at 10. Run through yours.
Also Sixers first, Nuggets, Celtics, Timberwolves, which you didn't have in front of the Suns, at 4, 5 Bucks, 6 Suns. So we have the Suns 5 and 6.
So should we talk about, I think that's the important place to start, is because people are going to see that we have them ranked 5 and 6, and they're going to be very upset and be like, what the heck do you have? It's Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. It's all these guys. With the way we did this, I found it really interesting, and I liked the way it turned out because of the way we did this. We didn't talk about it at all. I just was like, rank your top 10, whatever. Like, and then
don't talk to me about it.
It wasn't even that. We just basically, like, agreed without even agreeing to it or saying to it, like, to talk about it. I was like, I just put in all caps, under the age of 25, players on the roster, and that's pretty much it. So with that in mind, we came up with different ways to articulate the value. As you can tell by my list, actually, Kevin didn't go through his top 10, but he doesn't even have the Jazz in his top 10. And me having the Jazz at number 6 kind of tells you where we differentiate in terms of valuing this. So to start, the two things we definitely agreed on are star power for your core, but most importantly, depth. And it's a mix of those two kind of together.
I'm going to say that, like, this is really hard.
Yeah.
We do silly ranking things and, like, redrafts, and those things are kind of straightforward compared to this. This is really hard. Like, I could flip probably two teams next to each other in any of these and move them around. Like, you might convince me to change mine completely by the end of this, but I think a lot of it is just, like, it's so hard to project, even guys who are, even Devin Booker, like, it's hard to project him forward in some way. Same with guys that are, like, on the verge, like Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum. I think it's so hard to say, even compare them as single players, let alone, like, them plus their teammates. So, like,
and we're taking them off 1 year too.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And all this takes is, if you're listening and you're looking at the Celtics core and you think Jaylen Brown is average, then you probably have the Celtics like 6, 7, 8 on this list. But I'm a pretty big Jaylen Brown guy. I think you are too. We both think Jason Tatum is going to be pretty, pretty good as well.
I think I'm a lot lower on Tatum than you.
Oh, okay.
But where do we go with this? Do you want to just
So let's explain the teams above the Suns first before getting to them to kind of explain where we have our differences.
Team by team. Screw it.
Let's start with the Sixers. I think this is pretty simple. They have two of the 20 to 25 best players in the league right now. They're both under the age of 25. They're both going to be all-stars for a very long time. They also have the depth behind them. I think Dario Saric is someone we've talked about a bit with the redraft recently, where you're a little lower on him than I am, but I think we can still both agree that he's going to be a useful, like, fourth, fifth, sixth wheel. I think he's closer to like a third or fourth wheel, honestly. I really like Dario. And whatever Markel Fultz turns into, he's still only 20. If he can't shoot, I think he's still going to be a pretty good NBA player, which is crazy that we like can say that. But talking about it in a couple of different ways, the fact that we're saying, like, if he can't shoot, which I mean, he just... I always tweet out every 2 months the videos of him shooting against ASU and U of A that I put together for the piece we had on him like a year and a half ago, because extremely fluid jump shot in a bunch of different situations. But regardless, they have him, and we didn't even mention in the piece, like, they have guys like Landry Shamet, Shake Milton. They traded TLC, of course, but they have some guys at the end of the bench too, Jonah Bolden, who could turn into stuff as well. But the most important thing is they have two stars, young stars at the top, and no other team on this list has that right now.
Yeah, and they're not, like, I am very sure they're unique stars. Like, there are guys that are on the border, like, I'm going to say Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum might not actually be that good, and by that good I mean, like, are they five-time All-Stars? I'm not confident saying that. Like, they might just be very good above-average players if they top out, but we'll get to them in a second. I think Embiid's injury history scared me about putting them one, but even so, like, Simmons, I think he's absolutely great, and yeah, Fultz right there.
LeBron is like he's a top two player of all time, but we haven't seen a player like Ben Simmons since LeBron, which is, there's no other way really to describe it. I guess you can make an argument for peak Rondo, but that lasted like a year, so I wouldn't really go that far at all. That's the simple point, and people are going to counter and say, well, the Suns have two future stars, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. The Suns just won 21 games. They're not going to win above 35 this year. Sixers, I know they're in the East, whatever. They won 52 games with a 22-year-old and a 24-year-old, a rookie 22-year-old, and a 24-year-old who had under 40 games of NBA experience coming into this year, whatever it was, under 50. And they won 52 games with those two guys leading them night in and night out. This was not a thing where they had this big veteran kind of like the Suns looking at someone like Kemba Walker, Damian Lillard. They didn't have anything like that. It was Simmons and Embiid leading them every night. And to me, especially the way they performed in that first playoff series, this is where me and you share a chism? What's the word?
Chasm.
I don't know what the word is looking for. We shouldn't record podcasts on Fridays. This is what happens to us when we
I had an energy drink. You might be one of those words we said was right.
I had an energy drink. I have caffeine too. I have no excuses. what were we just talking about? Oh, so with
Sixers.
Booker. Yeah, so with Booker and Ayton. Look, if Ayton comes out and averages 18-11, wins rookie of the year, and Booker averages 25-5-5, then yes, they have arguably they have two young stars, but they still have to win a certain amount of games, and the winning precedent for these guys really matters. And that's what we were talking about before. I couldn't forget I couldn't remember how to say a word. I took a lot of stock in what some of these guys did in the playoffs. I think that is a big deal to me when guys come out in a playoff series. Like when Steph had that second round series against the Spurs in 2013, I want to say. They lost that series, but they came really close to winning it, and Steph was unbelievable in that series for how inexperienced he was and everything, and that's all I needed to see to be like super sold on him for the future. And there's two different sides to that argument, of course, but you have the Nuggets at number two. I have the Bucks. Let's talk Nuggets first, because I have them number four.
Let's go our composite, no?
Sure, yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Which is Celtics or Nuggets or tied.
Yeah, Celtics and Nuggets, yeah.
If I did my math correctly. Want to do Celtics or Nuggets?
Celtics.
Okay. Celtics. Jason Tatum, very good. Jaylen Brown, I actually like. I think I'm closer to him being like very, very good than like Jason Tatum. Like, I think Tatum's going to be good, but I'm not sure how good. Jaylen Brown's already done stuff that if you're the Suns, you want Josh Jackson to do. beyond that, it's just a lot of depth. Like, their roster's crazy young, and people don't realize that, and that's why it's so impressive.
I think Tatum could be an all-star next year. That has a little bit to do with the East as well, but I think he's awesome. This is, again, we're going to keep coming back to this, but playoff proven and stuff. He's 19 years old going against LeBron, and at certain moments in that series, they weren't really looking. The thing he had to learn from that series the most was when to just take control of games, and he's 19, fresh out of Duke, and
he learned.
That he learned from it at the same time, but there were moments where when he got put in that situation, he delivered, like the dunk on LeBron. He was not scared of that moment necessarily, you could tell from certain situations, but he just didn't know how to handle it. And that's where I took a lot of stock just into him and how he looked in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown as well, I think, is still one of the most underrated players in the league.
Yeah.
He's in that Jay Crowder camp where people just overall value of everything that he does. Yes, maybe he can't really dribble and dish that well, but come on, he does a lot of things really well. And he, too, both those guys are under 22. They are really, really young. And I think those two guys together, with what they just proved in the playoffs especially, is why I have them above the Suns. And that's the whole point that we're going to keep coming back to when we compare these teams above the Suns to them, is all these guys, all these teams we have above are proven. With the Nuggets as well, same thing. They just won 46 games, and all three of their best players are their core, their young core.
Jokic, even though he has flaws, like he got that contract, that's warranted. You're a super high Gary Harris person. Jamal Murray is continuing to prove me wrong. I was like one of those people out of the draft. It's like, yeah, I watched him. I even watched him like as a really young kid play for Canada's national team. And I was like, this guy is a baller. He's like just a winner. And I just didn't think his lack of pure athleticism would translate. And he's proving me to be stupid. So that trio is just really good.
That's a legit, like, three guys when they reach their prime in 2 to 3 years together collectively, you could make a finals appearance.
And that's like that's good drafting. They weren't taking. Oh, yeah. Those guys are Jokic, obviously, second round, and then the other two are just middle of the first somewhere. I don't remember. Murray was, like, what, top 10, but
Harris was the Doug pick too, right? They traded back and got two picks from Chicago. Chicago traded up for Doug McDermott. I think that was the Nuggets, and they got Gary Harris in that still, which is
whoopsie,
really impressive. Shout out Bulls, who are not on our top 10s.
Almost. They were 11.
That's a legit three. I think Jokic is still a guy where once he gets a little bit more shine nationally, probably this year, people are going to start to realize what everyone on NBA Twitter continues to debate about him. He is in the Devin Booker, are we sure he's good camp? He is very, very good. He might not be a rim protector at all, but he is very good.
But off topic, but the Ringer is really doing well with their Are We Sure series, because everyone just yells at the headline and it's just like, no, that's just their template.
Yeah.
It's not really. Well,
they had the Devin Booker, Are We Sure He's a Franchise Player thing, which everyone immediately jumped to.
Yeah, everyone jumped on it, and it was really about, yeah, we're pretty sure. Like, yeah. The article wasn't like, Devin Booker sucks at all.
Shouts Danny Chow, he wrote that. It was really good.
Yeah.
I read it before jumping to conclusions. I said, like, I still don't really like the headline, but that's the point of the headline. So.
It's a jump to conclusions, Matt. Anyway, for Bucks,
I have them number two, and this is where I just decided
our formulas are probably different. That's
our formulas are they're super different, because for me, I think it's so much more difficult to get the guy. Like, is Nikola Jokic the guy? He's just about there. I think if we see him at this level for another year, he's probably there. And if he improves, which he should, because he's only 23, Giannis is a top 10 player in the league right now. And he is probably going to be a top 5 player in the league for at least like a 3 to 4 year stretch, at least.
Yeah.
Arguably, he is going to be the best player in the league at some point. I think the thing we wrote in our redraft last year was, or the thing that I wrote, is that there's not many guys you can look at in any sport and look at him and say, this is going to be your league one day.
Yeah.
That's like the Mike Trout thing in baseball, where we saw him at a young age putting up the numbers he did. they continue to do, and it's like, this guy is going to be absolutely incredible for a decade or whatever.
No doubt, yeah.
That's the honest thing, and to me, I would trade. You have the Timberwolves and Celtics ahead of them. I did not. And the Nuggets. I have them too. I only have the Sixers above them. I would trade the entire Nuggets, Celtics, or Timberwolves core for Giannis in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I could be convinced on T-Wolves. Like, I think I'm valuing Andrew Wiggins and not being like he's terrible, which he might be. I'm still like trying to cling to that maybe. So that's my whole thing. And like the Bucks, I ranked him down pretty low because just depth. And yeah, I'm not... you could convince me to say that I was stupid for doing that, and I'm not saying Giannis is not like a, he might be a top five player already.
Oh yeah, I don't think, yeah, that's the other thing. I don't think it's stupid by any means. It's just a different way of valuing things, and that's the fascinating thing about the exercise and what we wrote about in the piece itself. It was really interesting to see where we were divided on certain ends. The one point I was going to make really with regards to Giannis is, I think you look at the totality of the player that he is, and that's just where it was just a no-brainer for me to put him at two. If Embiid like got hurt and had a season-ending injury last year or whatever, at like the 65-game point in the season, I might have put the Bucks one. Because this is the point that I was going to make. I was trying to find it for like 30 seconds.
Here we go.
I've been in the trenches a lot with the Devin Booker discussions in the past 2 months, just because it's been something that's either it's in my mentions and I'm not replying to stuff, or I am still replying to stuff. There is a huge, huge difference between Devin Booker being a top 30 to 40 player in the league to being a top 15 to 20 player in the league. There's a humongous gap there.
Yeah.
And there's an even bigger gap when you go to the top 5 and top 10. Is there anyone that we're going over right now that you can say they are going to be a top 10 player in the league? Maybe Simmons?
Yeah.
I think Simmons, I could say that confidently.
I mean, the drop-off is like that area where it's like Simmons, Jokic, Booker's like right there.
Ready for a hot take?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it about Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a top 10 guy in the league at some point, at least. I'm there. I'm all the way sold, and that's going to really anger people who are actually standing for the Booker versus Mitchell debate. But that's where I sit with Giannis and just the valuing of that. So now those are the five teams. Oh no, you Suns. Have the Timberwolves above the Suns. So let's chop on that, because I have them at 8. You have them at 4. This must just be what we talked about, Jaylen Brown, where we're probably a little bit different on Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I think I'm higher on him and also higher on Wiggins.
Yep.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, Towns is... I wrote the gallery in the story, and the thing I wrote on Towns is that we're going to wind up having the Timberwolves below the Suns by our average rankings, because I put them 8. And for me, I just punished Towns a little bit harsher because he's basically alone in that group. Andrew Wiggins is 23 still, and he counts. But what does he really count for? Are we sure he's even a good player in the league?
So here's my thing. We have, so our composite would be Suns are 5, T-Wolves are 6. And we both agreed that when you consider the Suns' score, like, I think they have, you might disagree, but I think we both believe that they have maybe have the most potential to jump up, like, even after this year, like, they could jump up close to 3 if just Devin Booker takes another step forward, and probably 2, Ayton proves himself to be like, this center is going to be useful for the next 10 years, like useful as in he's a solid starting center. If Josh Jackson becomes that lockdown glue guy, does everything, hustles, Mikal Bridges is a truly great 3-and-D prospect, and we believe in that, they could jump a lot. And in saying that, I don't think the Timberwolves can, but both of these teams right now have this weird, like, the lens we look at them through is super different, because I think you look at the Celtics, is that core that much better? If you put Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum under the Suns circumstances where they have 3 coaches in the last few years, do we think that they're that good? Do you think that core is that good? Do we like if they're losing a lot, do we think they're that good? If you put Devin Booker on the Celtics for whatever reason, like, then suddenly you probably have a higher appreciation for him, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And for the Timberwolves, I think it's the same thing where they've just lost so much that people like sour on these guys being talented. And I could go down the list with the same thing with Donovan Mitchell and say he was in a great situation with a great coach, with great teammates. If he's on a crappy team and is putting up numbers, do we know? Or do we think, okay, he's like Dennis Smith Jr., where I have no idea, but he's really talented. So it's just, I think the lens of winning or losing really changes. So that's kind of my argument for saying I don't know if the Timberwolves core is that terrible.
I don't disagree with anything you said at all. I just have it to where the depth is just not there, and Towns to me is not a Towns right now for me is not a Giannis, Ben Simmons,
but he's
Mitchell.
Up there with Jokic.
But Jokic has Gary Harris and Jamal Murray. Right. This guy has Andrew Wiggins, Tyus Jones, and Kata Bates Diop. Like it's
hey,
it's,
don't
don't Kata take Bates shots Diop. At Kata. Don't take shots at Kata, man. That's just rude. And to me, the Suns have Ayton is 1A. It's 1A, 1B with Booker right now in terms of value. Like, they're right there next to each other, essentially. Guy was just the number one overall pick. He outlines as a franchise center. That's what he is. I know we both disagree on some points with the overall consensus of what his value is. But we need to grade it for... I graded it for what it is right now. You decided to grade it for what you believe it's going to be this season, which is kind of the same thing in a way,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I think me and you both agreed 100% on the Suns is don't suck. There's a streamer I really like named Nick Merckx. His motto for when he plays Fortnite is don't suck. Don't suck.
Yeah.
If Josh Jackson, Mikal Bridges don't suck, if DeAndre Ayton does not suck, and they all play well and all just... Ryan McDonough has screwed up a lot, but all we've talked about with this core four now is if they do what they're supposed to do, this is going to go fine.
The thing is, the Suns' core, they have so many compared to these other teams, just like odds. The odds that two of Chris, Bender, Jackson, Bridges, Ayton turn out to be pretty good players or starters, like, your odds are just a little better. So that's why I said earlier that their potential to leap after this year when they don't suck is pretty much there. Like, yeah, my rankings was like right now, and a lot of those guys haven't proven that they're going to be starting caliber players, but it's easy to say two of them will show promise to that after this season.
Ayton is the one for me where we went back and forth, and you said, what do you need to like see this group and put them in the top three definitively? If Ayton just looks like a franchise center after his rookie year, which... yeah, that's a lot to ask for, but he's a number one pick. He's supposed to be a franchise center. We are supposed to see this right away from him. This is not something where we both have talked about how we believe he's more raw than other people. It's going to take a little bit more time for him, but at the same time, we need to see stretches where he just dominates games even as a rookie to have that outlook towards the future of being a franchise center. If we have that outlook still after this year, then you have an all-star shooting guard, an all-star center, and two wings who can do all the dirty stuff, all the shooting and everything, you're set. And the point to what you were talking about earlier with Devin Booker on the Celtics and stuff, what if the Celtics had Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving during that playoff run and they weren't overly relying on Tatum and Brown? Would I, in particular, feel just as strongly about Jason Tatum? I probably wouldn't, because they were asking so much out of those two guys.
And they delivered, yeah.
And they delivered. They would not have even been asked to do that if those two guys were healthy. And now they are not going to be asked to do as much this year, too. So now am I going to become a little bit lower on
them? We might devalue them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's circumstance is really everything with this debate. And that's where we get to the Suns again. And I want to ask you, if Mikal Bridges doesn't really play that much in his rookie year, are we going to begin to devalue him? If Josh Jackson... I don't know what other circumstances. What other circumstances could you see changing your value of someone in that specific instance? Obviously, besides like injury, like if Josh Jackson tears his knee in October, God forbid.
Yeah, no.
that would obviously change something. But I think, to me, if Brandon Knight goes terribly wrong and they're asking Booker to run point, that's something where I could actually see myself devaluing a little bit.
Because if he does really well?
Or if he does really well, but you can see how I feel about that, and I don't think it's going to go well if they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not playing, like, Bridges not playing wouldn't change it, but, like, third-year guys, fourth-year guys, like, Chris and Bender, again, going back to what I said about odds, like, if Chris and Bender just don't play, that's completely different than Bridges not playing because he's behind a couple good wings or something like that. But Chris and Bender not playing and then entering that, you know, they're going to be gone soon. It's like, well, you guys really are concerning, like, at this point. Like, you need to get it together. But as far as Ayton, Jackson, I think Jackson's the one that I could really swing things. I think Ayton, I can be confident and say I believe he's going to be a starting center, and I've maintained that. And no matter if, even if it's just like, oh, he has his flaws, whatever, I think he's going to be a starting center. But Jackson's the one that, like, be a dude. Like, you have the talent to be a starting caliber player and an elite defender. So that's where I'd say he's a huge swing guy for me.
Who else is with you, to kind of extend this to the rest of the discussion? Who else is next to the Suns for you in the team that could be swung the most on this list after you see what happens this season? For me, the idea that immediately jumped to me is the Celtics have the Kings protected first round pick. If it lands at one, I believe the Sixers get it. If it doesn't land, if it lands anywhere else in like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, the Celtics get it.
So that's
just picturing them adding another. This is a class, as far as I know, it's a lot of guys who are like 6'4", 6'10" switchable dudes. If they added a Zion to we're not asking much out of you, just switch, hit open shots camp of wings. Like, the fit is a little bit clunky, of course, but just them adding another switchable wing with high upside, to me, is something where if we do this exercise again in a year, now they have Tatum, Brown, and the guy that they pick there in these three crazy wings.
The Lakers, all right, we have the Knicks, I think, right behind the Suns a bit. Knicks, obviously, they've got some good young guys. Knox, Mitchell Robinson is very raw. Obviously, everything like stands on Porzingis, whether that knee injury, and that's concerning.
I had the Knicks 9. You had them 7. I would have had them at 6 if Kristaps didn't tear his knee.
Yeah.
But he's 7'3" and had a major knee injury, and I just am going to devalue him until I see him play for 15 straight games.
Just
on
a little
that
confidence.
Knee. Yeah.
Lakers are interesting because they have a lot of, like, these guys are good. They're going to be starters. We don't know if Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball are going to be like all-star caliber players, I think, but that could swing big time because there's a couple of really good players, Kuzma, Josh Hart. Mavs have two freaky guys. Not much else, I don't think, unless I'm forgetting about someone, but Dennis Smith Jr. and Luka Doncic, if they are who we think they are, they're going to just leap that up because I think both of them are really good.
Yeah, if Doncic is a Rookie of the Year candidate and plays like one of the 2-3 best rookies, and Dennis Smith Jr. looks like a top 5 pick, because he didn't last year, which, again, you hand a rookie point guard the keys right away, it's probably not going to go well. That's what history has told us. But if he looks like a top 5 pick again, I know he wasn't picked in the top 5, but that's the kind of prospect he was graded as, and then Doncic looks like the best or the second best or the third best prospect in this class as a rookie, that's where I can see them jump. On the inverse, if Doncic kind of struggles a bit or if Smith struggles a bit, I could see them falling out of the top 10 of this list.
Yeah. They have the most variability, probably.
I think the Lakers are a team where I don't really see me moving them much at all, because with how much they have LeBron James, he's going to cover a lot for them, and they're not going to be asking a lot out of these guys, and I think they're going to perform well in the limited roles that they're asked of. But, I mean, if those guys can't do those roles, then maybe I'm wrong, and they drop even further.
Magic are interesting.
The Magic are interesting. The team I was going to bring up was the Hawks, because if Trae Young, the thing I wrote in our piece is Trae Young has game-changing qualities, to his game. It just changes games completely all the time. How much of that factor of his game translates to the NBA will be apparent in his rookie year. If he's changing a game here and there, we're going to know. De'Aaron Fox kind of had those moments low-key for the Kings. He had a couple game winners. He had a couple of stretches here and there where he looked really good. And Trey is going to have like those 17-point explosions in a quarter. How often is that stuff going to happen where there was the end of that summer league game where he either scored or assisted on like every bucket for 6 or 7 straight minutes? How much of that translates? And if it does translate, you have to put the Hawks in the top 10. I don't have them here. And if John Collins looks solid or even better, which I think he will, that's a really good group of two. But with that being said, I think the clear cutoff for me... Actually, go ahead on the Magic, because they're really interesting. And we've talked a lot about Bamba and Isaac specifically, because we thought they could get picked by the Suns at certain points.
They're, like, everyone's just like, they're Jay Billis wingspan team. Like, they could be really good, but Isaac and Bamba just probably have a lot of developing to do, even just physically, like, their sticks. Isaac looked pretty good in summer league. Like, he showed a jumper off the dribble game, and Aaron Gordon's still in this conversation. Like, he's still pretty young. I know that you're not as high on him as me, maybe, but I'm going to ride the Aaron Gordon train just because I think his athleticism, defense just kind of does everything. If he can just not shoot 55% from three for half season and then 30%.
I was with you until last year when he started to try to be number one alpha guy, and I was like, oh no, don't take the Andrew Wiggins turn. Let's not do that.
That's what's weird about the Magic. It's like none of them are number one alpha guys, but if you put a number one alpha guy on that team, then suddenly you're like, oh my, that's a fun team.
With the rankings, not really to wrap this up, but kind of look at the bottom half of our tables. I looked at this as my top nine. I see a franchise caliber player in each of those top nine. Sixers, Bucks, Celtics, Nuggets, Suns, we talked about. Jazz, I have Donovan Mitchell in there. Mavericks, I have Doncic in there. Timberwolves, I have Kat in there. And the Knicks, I still have Kristaps in there, but I'm not feeling too hot. I did not have the Lakers in there. I'm just not sure where Lonzo's going to go. There was a lot last year that worried me, but at the same time that made me feel encouraged about liking him. Brandon Ingram looked better, but I don't think you can confidently say either of those guys are franchise caliber, like franchise top the guy type of players, whereas everyone we just mentioned, I think you can say that as two people who are very high on. Luka Doncic, that's easy. The Bulls, Lowry, I guess, maybe. He was good as a rookie, but that's a really high leap.
Yeah.
Magic, we just talked about. Hawks, we just talked about. The Kings have two guys, Marvin Bagley and De'Aaron Fox.
The Kings have a lot of guys, but a lot of, like, meh. Bagley's, I don't know why I'm so concerned over him, because I thought he'd be good, and I think he's a double-double guy, but it's like, is he a, what is he more than, like, your athletic, switchable double-double guy at this point? And maybe he occasionally hits a shot, but...
You know why you're worried now?
Why?
Because he got picked by the Kings.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And
probably,
if he would be in Atlanta or Memphis or anywhere else, I think we would feel a lot better about him. If Jaren Jackson Jr. was on the Kings, I'd be like, oh god, I would be terrified.
Well, bye.
Speaking of Jaren Jackson Jr., we cut off the list at 15. I had the Spurs at 15 because they are the Spurs, and I respect their hustle. I'm not willing to. The thing I wrote in our gallery was, let's just wait a year and make sure that Lonnie Walker isn't one of the 5 to 10 best players in this class. Let's wait a year to make sure DeJounte Murray isn't a really good starting point guard. I know that's a really big leap to make, but let's just wait a year, please. Yeah. Let's relax. Let's wait a year and make sure Derek White isn't like the next Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford, heat check guard off the bench. Jakob Poeltl's super solid. Shouts to Metu, your boy. We know how you feel about him. We know how I feel about him. We both agree like he's a lottery level talent, but it just never, ever came together at USC. That sounds like the kind of guy who works out for the Spurs sometimes. Yeah. So with those five guys together, we just cautionary. And this is something, if we were in Vermont, we're making this podcast and we weren't so closely connected to the Western Conference and the Spurs in particular.
Draft out of the Pac 12 all the time in the West Coast a lot.
Yeah. We probably wouldn't have them in this, but we have such a fear of the Spurs by default following the Suns.
Grew up here, so. Yeah.
And to me, I really like Lonnie Walker in this class. We both actually, I think we gave tough love to DeJounte Murray in that draft because we really liked some of what we saw. And you in particular, I think, liked him more than me. But I was just more tough love where I was like, oh, man, it's so close. And now to see him become this great defensive player, it's like, whoa, if you just put together a little bit of offense.
That's what happens when you go to a good team and why Marvin Bagley. Yeah.
Jakob Poeltl's a guy I like. Yeah, was there any other team where I went through all 15 rosters just to make sure we didn't miss anyone? Jaren Jackson Jr., obviously, I think a lot of people listening who believed that he was on the Doncic or just around the Doncic level will have him in their top 15.
Who else does Memphis have?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's literally why.
I didn't.
And that's why. They have the guys they picked in the second this year. I'm struggling to remember who it was. Javon Carter is one of them, which not really a high upside guy by any means. He's a backup point guard probably. Indiana came up for me, the Miles Turner, Sabonis thing. Victor Oladipo's 26. Anthony Davis is only 25. He was really close to being on this list somehow.
I know. I was like going through rosters. I was like, better check that one.
Yeah, he's 25. So if we did this last year, he would have actually been on this list, which is crazy because of how awesome he is and how it feels like he's been around for so long.
Now I'm worried we should probably go back and check to make sure we didn't miss anyone.
No, we didn't. I went through everything. We're good. The Brooklyn Nets don't have anyone lying in wait that's going to make us scared.
Final thoughts? It was like that of random things we do where we kind of put our opinion out there. This is like one of the toughest things because I'm not super confident in it, but if I changed it, then I would just keep changing it every 5 minutes when I came up with a new argument in my head.
Yeah, we've both made lists for stuff to write so many times where the lesson you teach yourself is do it for like 10, 15 minutes and then just settle on what you have because you're just going to keep moving stuff around and you're just going to change your mind all the time. If we did this in 2 weeks and I actually allowed myself, maybe I move the Bucks down a spot, maybe I move the Suns up a spot or move the Jazz below the Mavericks, it's one of those things that just keeps going. Maybe I have the Bulls in my top 10 instead. I don't really know.
Thank you for putting up with us as we push through this summertime.
The thing we learned basically was that there's an insane amount of young talent and an insane amount of high level young talent. Because the Suns would not be fifth or sixth on these lists most years, but that's just the way the NBA is working right now with all the young talent.
We like nerding out over stuff. In the NBA, it turns out.
Yep, a little bit.
Thank you for listening. Podcast is on iTunes. You can catch us on Twitter, arizonasports.com. We'll try to make sure we get on Spotify and all that stuff too soon. We're working on it. So thanks for all the input on that as well.